yesterday the sad news came through of the passing of a man who has just given his life to education, to his family and to Australian rules football. John Kennedy was named a legend of the competition. He didn't need to be named for anyone to know that, but it was fantastic that in the last month of his life that John Kennedy was recognised with the highest honour in Australian rules football. That's legendary status in the Australian Rules Hall of Fame. As we get set to talk to John Kennedy Jr., himself a four-time Hawthorn Premiership player, let's look back on a life, Das, that started as a young man who barracked for the Pies, loved going down to Victoria Park, loved watching his the champions play, and then went to Hawthorn and turned a team that had just been had no success in its first 25 years after coming into the competition in 1925 and turned them into the modern-day powerhouse that they are. Along the way, he added dignity to everything he touched in football. One of the great men, John Kennedy.
Just do something. Don't think about it all. Just do something.
My friends tell me that they met people who said, I saw Kennedy play and it wasn't a pretty sight.
The club which exists, that is the culture now of the Hawthorn Football Club, no doubt comes out of the beginnings from John Kennedy's influence way back then.
You've got to have a go. If you don't have a go, you're coming off the ground. I'll finish with 15 men, but we'll have blokes who are having a go.
I'm game enough to tell you to do it. Are you game enough to back me up?
How do you come up with a different speech that they haven't heard before?
You've got to think of a thousand different ways of saying the same thing.
When you're behind, you've got to go mad. It's attacking football now. It's attacking football.
A boy about 11 or 12 came up to me and he said, excuse me, would you say do something? Said, do something, and he's just stood there. Eventually, I thought he's not going to go, and I said, well, do something. I called him, and his face lit up, and he smiled.
There's only one thing in football, is to get in and fight for the ball. Fight for the ball! We're so far into the mess that we have to be desperate to get out of it. If it goes wrong, it goes wrong. At least you're doing what I ask, and at least I'm responsible. But I'm not responsible for the gutless, witless display that's going on out there. But at least do something! Do! Don't think, Mick! Don't hope! Do! At least you can come off and say, I did this, or I shivered, or I played on. At least I did something for the sake of the side. Do! Act! Don't think, act!
Eye on the ball! I'm game enough to tell you to do it. Are you game enough to back me up?
Triple M's Hot Breakfast, we salute the hot gospeling nature there of John Kennedy, but we also remember Das as the chairman of the AFL Commission. He was the moral authority of AFL football, and he guided so many people along the way, so many presidents, so many commission members, and right through his entire life in football at both the Hawthorn Football Club and the North Melbourne Football Club as coach. John Kennedy Jr. joins us from Sydney this morning, where he watched his son, the third generation of Kennedys, play his 250th game last night. In it, he kicked his 150th goal. And while it was a disappointing night for the Sydney Swans, there was nothing disappointing about Josh Kennedy's standard of play, which is always exemplary. And I thought, Das, it was wonderful that your team, the Western Bulldogs, along with the Sydney Swans, stood for a minute's silence in memory of John Kennedy Sr. last night. And the commemorations will continue over this week of football. And John joins us on the line from Sydney this morning. John, first of all, mate, thank you over all your life that I've known you for sharing your dad with so many of us in the football world. And thank you so much for everything that your family has given to football.
Yeah, oh, thanks very much for having us, Ed. Das, yeah, it's, look, he's left a terrific legacy, not only for us, but, you know, for the football, as you say, the football public and world in general. But it's been extraordinary to see the accolades coming in from him, you know, even via text, people coming, sending messages in from overseas and all over the place. So it's been a real, you know, as we're sad because he's gone, but he certainly left his mark. There's no doubt. He, as they say in the footy world, he had an impact
while he was here. Certain, no doubt about that.
Did he have an impact, John? That is the understatement of the day. And every time I hear that audio, it just, the chills go down your back and it makes you want to get out of your chair and stand up. But, you know, essentially, he was just your dad. What was he like as a father, and you being a four-time premiership player? Was he there giving you advice and giving you a bit of feedback if you didn't go hard enough, John?
He was certainly... he was always very calm and mild-mannered at home. He never raised his voice. He never got out of the chair to tell us off as children. And so I only saw the other side of him when I went down to Hawthorn. So, you know, he during my football career, he let me pretty much go as I did. And he occasionally would offer some advice if I asked for it. And occasionally, if he didn't think I went hard enough, he would just ask the question, "What happened there?" And I did, and the question didn't need to be answered because I knew. And so it was very tough. If he felt I didn't really go hard enough, he knew that I knew, and we both knew that that shouldn't happen again.
John, we know of the football contribution. He was a great educator. He left Hawthorn as a coach, Darce, in the 60s, having taken Hawthorn to their first premiership in 1961 to teach at Stawell for a while, and then he came back and also coached taught out at Broadmeadows Tech, of all places, and left a lasting impression wherever he went, and was fairly high up in the education system. But what a lot of people don't realise is the magnificent combination that he had with your mother, Dulcie, who was just one of the most incredible people that I've been able to meet in my football journey. And she had a tremendous impact on my wife, Carla, who was actually in tears yesterday hearing about John. She loved them so much. The family aspect of football, and it's no fluke that Hawthorn became the family club. It was very much imbued by not only your dad, but your mum as well.
Yeah, I think that's born out of Mum's upbringing in a place called Porepunkah in the northeast of Victoria, and they're country folk. And she certainly, there's no doubt at all that Mum's contribution should never be underestimated. There's no way Dad could have done what he did unless she was there beside him and offered the support. There were a lot of times when we were at home and Mum was looking after us and Dad wasn't getting home till sort of 8, 9 o'clock at night because they trained from sort of 5 o'clock onwards back in those days. So you had your normal day job and then they go to footy training after that. So it wasn't as if you were doing a 9-to-5 job. It was his teaching and then it was his football coaching after that. So Mum did a lot of the heavy work. And then once we were out of the place, Mum's got more involved in the going to president's lunches and things like that. And she genuinely loved people's company, you know, loved finding out about where they came from and their families and how many children they had and what, you know, the relatives. There's always a 6 degree of separation. I thought she always tried to see if there was someone she knew in that family, you know. So she took a genuine interest. She wasn't just asking it for the sake of it. She took a genuine interest in the person she was talking to. And that sort of related across the board when she was when Dad was working behind the scenes, you know. So... and the two of them were a great combination. So, and Dad had the ability to talk to people right across the board as well. So they made a great couple.
We're hearing the voice of John Kennedy Jr., four-time premiership player, reflecting about his father, John Kennedy. And last night, sometimes the world delivers this bit of synchronicity. Your son, Josh, played his 250th game. And what a player he's been. Incredible story. But for your father to get the 29th Australian Football Hall of Fame legend status and to actually be alive to accept that honour, which we all thought was coming, can you give us an insight into what that meant just a few months ago?
Yeah, look, he was certainly really chuffed. I mean, he was one of those guys that didn't take a lot of notice of individual accolades, but I think... you know, on this occasion, he was genuinely surprised. You know, he felt that when you read out the names that were already in there as a legend, like Matthews and Hudson, people of Hawthorn, perhaps, that he didn't see himself even now as being in the same category as those people. You know, he was quite embarrassed, but nevertheless, he was clearly you know, chuffed about the whole thing. And I was glad that he was able to, you know, to understand that that's what was happening at the time.
because that, in the last sort of few last few weeks, that he deteriorated quite a bit. So it was terrific for him to be able to sort of accept that award. Well, I think it's well deserved. There's no doubt about that. There wouldn't be too many would argue that.
No, I don't think there's any argument about that. The only argument was why he might have not been in earlier, to be perfectly honest, John. And it was great that he got there as he was still with us. Last year, he went down to the Hawthorn Football Club, and there was a special jumper that the Hawks were going to wear, Das, and they'll wear it this week. And quite fittingly, as they play North Melbourne, the other team that John coached at. And there's an introduction here from Alistair Clarkson, passing of the baton, if you like, in some ways, back and forth. And then probably, and I'm having a guess here, John, that this was the last time that John Kennedy addressed the Hawthorn players before battle.
He realised this game is a team sport and it's no good unless we have collective success. And he didn't single-handedly do it, but had a significant influence on turning the fortunes around at this footy club. Won a flag in 61, of which he coached, and then another one in 71 and another one in 76, and that set the pattern for Hawthorn, and everything that's come after that, that's set the pattern for what Hawthorn is today. So, Kanga, thanks so much for agreeing to come out and accept this jumper from the footy club as our away Guernsey, wearing the good old brown and gold again. Thanks, mate.
You can't say to a player, I want you to go out and kick six goals. But you can say you've got to do the fundamentals, you've got to chase, and they've heard him chase and chase and do all the things that we all can do. We all can chase and we can all pick up our man and we can all do those basic things, and if we don't do them Saturday night, we're in trouble.
Pretty simple message there, John, but at times he did break into quotes from Karl Marx and Cicero and Shakespeare and Churchill, and so well read, might have been lost on a few people at times.
Yeah, well, when you're talking of, you know, 20-odd footballers, if they don't, some of them doesn't go across too well, you know. But I said to him when he did that, I said, "Is you sure you want to do this? I want to do it," you know, and I think that was certainly his last sort of relation to any of the playing group, and I was a bit concerned because he in the end he couldn't even watch the game sometimes because he got that nervous and wound up watching the Hawks, you know, and it was quite funny when I spoke to Clarko the other day, and I said, look, he's on the skids, mate. I don't think he's going to go for much longer. And Clarko said to me, that's sad. He said, it's probably that bloody Geelong game that got him in the fence. Started spiraling out of control, you know, two or three weeks ago. I laughed. I said, yeah, I think he did say that didn't, that wasn't too good, was it? You know?
Well, thank goodness that the Hawks got up and knocked over Richmond on his last game that he watched. John, sincerely, mate, our condolences to you and your family, but when it's a life so well lived, it's a celebration of life rather than a commiseration of death, and we wish you all the best. And again, sincerely, we thank you for sharing your father and your mother, for that matter, and now we're
and
enjoying living through your son. And let's not forget he was a four-time premiership player, Das, and should have won the Norm Smith medal, except the umpires or the voting staff were confusing him with Colin Robertson, who had the same moustache running off the other halfback flank. You were ripped off, weren't you, Ruth?
32 and 34, Ed.
That's it.
Their numbers are too apart. Something went wrong. We should be an inquiry.
Exactly. I was retrospective. I reckon we can go back, mate.
John Kennedy Jr. joining us this morning. Thanks so much for your time and emotional time. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having us, Ed. Thanks, Darth.
Good on you, mate. John Kennedy Jr. and the great camaraderie of football. And Das, we're all touched by John Kennedy. There's going to be a million war stories over the next week, which we'll all enjoy. You know, if you crossed him, you knew about it. Don't worry about that. And especially when you're a reporter from the media, he didn't miss you. But we had some fun along the way, and he was a wonderful man. And I'll just finish, Das, on on one little personal story. That the last one of the last key times that I saw John was at Dulcie's funeral, and he turned around, and he and Carla and myself and Dulcie had a great little football relationship. We weren't personal friends, but we had always enjoyed each other's company at the footy, at the president's lunches and things, and they often came as our guests. And he turned to me and he said, "Don't waste a moment. Don't waste a moment with your wife." And he looked at Carla and he just gave us that homespun look. There was there was that steely-eyed look and the genuine love for his wife and his family. And it was something that I'll take to my grave, and that is, don't waste time. And I just say that to everybody out there today, to take the great words of John Kennedy. Yep, go hard at the ball, chase to all the fundamentals, but in life as well, don't waste a moment.